to the Decibel Blues Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution, where it is our 100th episode. I am your host, Robert,
and I can't wait to ruin the festivities with an inappropriate political rant. And with me, I have...
Número 100, El Ídolo. Any of you guys want a car battery?
And...
We're the Indonesian chicken wings and the hookers. Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Well, we all have chicken wings.
Yeah.
Can't say anything about the hookers, though.
Well, I mean, nah, I'm not going to go there. This is not the time for jokes about eating out.
No.
Yeah, because these guys are already mad at me, because I may have spiked the wing sauce with something. Guess which version of The Last Dab, kids?
I feel tingly.
It feels like it's about to blow up from the outside.
It feels tingly.
It's funny when you suffer the pain of spice.
My mustache feels hot. And my stomach feels like it's about to burst. Still tasty, though.
Well, that sounds like a personal problem. Yeah, so... What do you know? We finally made it this far. Because we apparently have so little lives that we can manage to do this on a fairly consistent basis. Barring extreme weather conditions, or bronchitis, or holidays and shit. So, obviously we need to get the obvious out of the way. Suck it, Tyler, we made it here before you! Whether it be, you know, training stage or reboot stage, we are at this landmark, you are not. I can just feel Tyler seething with rage. John probably doesn't give a fuck. But I mean, he is the one that designed the logo, so hey, good on you for making something that got put to use in 100 episodes.
Yes.
We like him more than Tyler.
Yes. They may be gone, but their influence is still felt. Can we actually feel influence, you know, physically?
I'm pretty sure you can.
Can we see it or taste it?
It just involves weird things happening, man. Feel it. Are you feeling it, Mr. Krabs?
Art thou feeling it now, Mr. Krabs?
I'm feeling a warm spot.
Sorry.
Whoa, okay. Alex needs to lay off the sauce for a bit, I think.
Yeah, that's your own fault. You gave it to me.
No. That you can't blame me for that, because you knew after the first wing, so...
You're the one who spiked it, so blame goes to you.
And you're the one who kept eating after the first wings, so, you know, you should
because
know better.
I like wings. They make me feel good.
And whose fault is that?
Still yours, because you're responsible for the sauce, but we're just splitting hairs here.
Yes, clearly. Or singeing hairs, depending on your perspective. But yeah, now after the longest, most self-indulgent intro thing ever, we should, as always, figure out just what the hell's been going on since the last time we all got into this recording thing to bash out a bunch of hot takes. So, what's been going on with all y'all?
A little bit. You know, a little bit of work. A little bit of, you know, paying bills and, I had an epiphany on Thursday when everyone was going absolutely friggin' insane over the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. Everyone is fucking insane. So that whole Twitter thing, yeah, kind of taking a break for that because I'm just tired of everyone yelling at each other endlessly for no real reason other than, hey, you said this, I don't like it. I will say this, you won't like that. And we'll keep going back and forth. And I'm just, yeah, no. Screw it. Done. I need a break. I have enough to be stressed about right now, and that is not what I need in my head. So, yeah, I've actually been feeling a lot better since I've, you know, given that up. It's kind of like an addiction, you know? I just had to give it up cold turkey, and, you know, been getting better. And what else have I been doing? Oh, yeah, the car troubles. They're back. Because I had to get a new car battery today. So I had to go all the way to Walmart, get a battery, only to find out I went to the one that doesn't install them. And I got the wrong one, as I found out when I went to AutoZone later on.
Ew.
Because the battery polarities were flipped. And that's just annoying. So I decided, okay, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to return this battery tomorrow. I'm going to get one here while I'm here and just be on my way. But on the plus side, since I was stuck in 5 o'clock traffic, I'm listening to a lot of Logic's Junk Sinatra 4. Oh, that's a good album. Logic may have 2 spots on my year-end list by the end of 2018.
Ooh.
We might have to figure out how the ruling of that's going to work.
Yeah, because, you know, one's a mixtape, one's an actual album and a mixtape, but, you know, we all got our lists and our own rules, so, you know, let's just rule a technicality.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure out what happens if the other 2 albums in the new Brockhampton trilogy come out this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you can find out all about that when we do the album roundup next week.
Yep.
You know, that'll be the week of 101.
Woo! And just to get this out of the way, Kanye West, you're still insane. People of San Francisco, you got a free Metallica concert across the city. Shut up and enjoy it.
Yeah, but see, the problem was they played all of Death Magnetic in its entirety, which is A, loud, and B, lame. That's a joke about the loudness wars, kids.
Yeah.
100 episodes of bad comedy. How did we ever make it this far? Anyway, what about you, Mark?
Well, let's see. It's been work, writing a bunch of shit. Oh, and also being lots of rain and awkward bad weather because they don't have to start a fall. Oh wait, no, it don't. Well, at least around here it does. Yeah. There's been a lot of that weather around here lately, especially last week, which I'm not gonna go into. But yeah, there's been plenty of that. And of course, if this on either Wednesday or whenever they be posted. Right now, I should be about 28, as I turned that this Wednesday. I'm another year older.
Woo! Well, now he's no longer 2.7.
And now I'm getting close to...
They never did get up to 2.8, did they?
I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I'm another year older, at least by the time this goes up. But yeah, it was weird being 28, even though you get it. Well, some of you get it.
I can't wait to feel that weird. And look, Mark, one of these days, we're just going to have to strap you to a chair and make you watch the microwave show. We can't keep dumping these references on you and you not getting them. We need you to get the references.
By the way, they did go to 2.8 for season 8.
Oh. Did they do it all, you know, hardcore, like 2.8?
Actually, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 6, 7, 8. With, you know, hip thrusts.
Ah. Well, I can't very well do that right now because I'm sitting.
YouTube jokes. Hard episodes of it.
Yeah, good times. Anyway, as for me, mostly just the same old, same old. The one highlight I did manage to get out to the movies to catch that one anime film that all the kids were talking about on the internet. So, My Hero Academia, parentheses, this franchise I'm pretty sure has significantly more than 2 heroes. And boy, was that a really hype climax, I'll tell you what.
No spoilers, I'm seeing it tomorrow.
Oh, okay then. It is... Just a frame of reference, the loudest cheers in the theater was when Todoroki showed up, and the quietest was when Mineta showed up.
As expected.
Should be.
Yeah, it was like, God, what was the other guy's name? Because I always get... It was Kaminari, I think, Like, he and Mineta showed up, and when Kaminari was like, yeah, and then Mineta shows up a second after, like, aw.
Yeah, let it be known, Todoroki's best boy, Mineta is a pile of crap.
It was basically the Twitter feed in real time.
It's like,
and also, I've been playing way more Spider-Man, because seriously, guys, you people need to understand, this game is just so good. It is so fucking good. I would get married to this game if I was legally allowed to. And unfortunately, though, I haven't come across that really unfortunate Easter egg y'all know the one.
Oh.
Actually, is that a negative or a positive? I'm not sure which.
Depends on who you ask.
Fair enough. Seriously, though, guys, I unlocked the 60s classic Spider-Man costume and my life is complete. But the game is not complete yet. I still got stuff to do in it.
Well, I would play it if you gave me that 60 bucks you still owe me.
60 bucks for what? What are you talking about?
Remember the
tool You've been going on for this for like 100 episodes, and I don't know what the hell is this 60 bucks.
It was the tool bet. Remember the tool bet?
What tool bet? The only bet we ever had was like a Bruno Mars one.
Yeah, it was about that. Then, if Tool came out with a new album in 2017, which they didn't, you'd raise it to 60 bucks that you still owe me. I'm keeping track.
Oh, please. It's like, come on, I still have to send you that Steven Wilson vinyl that I haven't yet.
Yeah. Don't forget, Mark is our witness.
You will say nothing, Mark.
What's up, my cats? Davis is too.
Actually, they're just like, meow, motherfucker.
Now, and all and listeners, because we have audio evidence of this in the archives.
Yeah, but who the hell's gonna go listen back through all that shit? Certainly not me. You know, except for the... Oh, shit, that's right, I gotta do the highlight reel.
Pay me.
Silence. But anyway, after that lengthy bit of shenanigans, let's, of course, get into our usual business. So, of course, as always, we start off with the new song discussions for the past week. And as always, link down in the description so you can know exactly 100% what it is we're talking about. And, of course, for this week, let's get Mark over there, you know, since he's the birthday boy, to start things off. So go right on ahead, sir.
So today we started with two of my favorite bands right now. That's bad, but not good. Which before and one band I mentioned before, at least not on the song discussion, but I did before, at least on the album roundup. Little Dragon, they got a new one-off track. Well, check this out this week. Well, that we just passed. It's called Tried. So I gotta get no surprise. Yeah, I really love this track. I mean the way we got this 70s the 70s groove and style and moves out and jazz and swinging like pop that makes sound so oof. And not to mention when the vocals from Yukimi Nagato comes in, it just goes also well with the rhythmic swing. This is a very groovy track, and I remember this like maybe several times since listening to this. And like this is coverage that I never thought would happen, but I'm glad it did. And wow! And if they did like an EP together, I would be happy to hear that shit. This is definitely good. I'm fucking with this heavy.
Pretty good stuff. And speaking of collaborations, so since I brought up the subject of movies earlier, we should mention what's coming out this Friday. Namely, we're finally getting that Bradley Cooper-directed version of A Star Is Born, starring both him and Lady Gaga. So, of course, we gotta get some of the music out there in the public, you know, before this movie's official release. I mean, the soundtrack and film are coming out same day, so, you know, might as well. And, of course, What better song to, you know, get people's attention than the one that's in all the trailers, the one called Shallow? And, you know, as far as, like, what you know about this movie and what you hear in the trailers, it's about what you would expect hearing it play out in full. First half is a very sort of delicate acoustic ballad, piano accompaniments, and some light strings. You know, Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, their lyrics are about what you expect. You know, they both long for greater things in this world. They have a sort of, you know, emptiness within them that they need to fulfill, whether that be through career ambitions or relationships and all that. And then, of course, there's the, you know, triumphant kick-in of, like, the rest of the band, you know, following that part. Hell, the fucking Stereo Gun piece there, I'm pretty sure, even refers to it as the, ah, you know, that part. Not to be confused with the Nightman.
Dayman. Dayman, oh, Dayman, fighter of the night, man. Oh, champion of the sun.
Sun, sun,
oh, sun, you're a master of karate, a friendship for everyone.
Oh! So, you know, it, and again, Lady Gaga sounds great on this, and Bradley Cooper sounds okay. I'm still weary of his involvement in this, but apparently the movie's pretty good and he's pretty good in it, so we shall see.
Mm-hmm. It's an alright song, but I just can't help but feel this would be a lot better without all the white guy with acoustic guitarness of it all.
Well, I mean, to be fair, they telegraphed that in the trailers, so you had, like, a few months to prepare for this.
Yeah. I got no one to leave it myself, but, yeah, I suppose the movie's gonna do all right. I've heard good reviews, and I'm sure it'll make its money back and then some, so, yeah, shows what I know, I guess. So, I suppose when it comes to A Star Is Born, we have nowhere to go but up from, you know, whatever the hell that, Barbara Streisand adaptation was with Chris Christopherson. That's the guy. I always forget his name.
Yeah, we have nowhere to go but up from there. And speaking of highlights, remember that time you chewed me out for not knowing who Chris Christopherson was?
Yes.
Are you sure that was that, not someone else?
Well, you got pissed off at me for not knowing the song Me and Bobby McGee, and I believe you mentioned Christopherson's name there as well.
That was Janis Joplin.
No, I'm pretty sure you brought up Chris Christopherson.
Yeah, well, I can't remember much nowadays anyway.
I know, it blows my head. I remember, yeah, that's the guy from Blade that played Whistler.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that's right. Anyway, moving on to other stuff that's happening this weekend, you know, besides the fact that I'm going to get to play the Smash Ultimate demo. Yeah, buddy! And these two aren't. Na-na-na-na-na.
And now for an obligatory fuck you, Rob.
Love you too, buddy. But anyway, aside from that, this weekend is, of course, the inaugural Adult Swim Festival. We're going to bring that up again later, when we get into the news, because reasons, but all you need to know is that we got, some Adult Swim singles to cover. Naturally, they're ramping up the hype and promotion for this thing, and we got two, from artists that are playing this weekend. It would have been three, but I completely did not notice the third until, like, a half hour before this recording, so.
Yeah, we'll do that next week.
Yeah, my bad. So, of course, starting right here with Mr. Chad Van Galen, electronic composer, you know, does the music for Dream Corp LLC, which is coming back this month. Hype! So, yeah, his contribution to the compilation is a track called Monopoly ARP. I don't know what an ARP is. But, you know, if you're familiar with his music, this sits in pretty comfortable familiar territory. Droning synths, opening with spacey bleeps and blips, occasional percussion in there, and then eventually the song, you know, as it progresses, it becomes, you know, more tuneful, with a very playful, pleasing, melodic synth structure, with some occasional glitchy bits in there, and a very, like, floaty, aquatic vibe to the production choices overall. It's a vibe track, it gets the job done.
It's a vibe track, it's a very weird-ass vibe track, and even though I never noticed this from Chad Van Galen, maybe because I'm not that familiar with him, aside from that one track he did last year. But it's a bunch of weird ass sounds. They got me feeling like, what the hell? I keep on thinking words like Meat Morphs or some shit like that. Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
And, yeah, now we move on to our next track here, which is exclusively available on the Sony Trap Station, published by Trapco. Or was it Slapco?
Slapco.
But whatever. You can take this one, Mark.
Yes, Mr. IDK is back again on the Adult Swim singles. And he got a new joint featuring someone named Q the Fool. Which, I guess he a fool. I guess produced by Take a Day Trip. Damn, we got a lot of weird ass names. The song's called Electric. And as always, this is the Oh, if you get ID Color, it's a definite fucking banger with a lot of game references. Like, going to have a T-number necklace, niggas see me, these charger, come and check it. Jump out screaming, it's electric. Come, some niggas want to fight, this ain't Tekken. Some niggas want to slide, they sliding, jumping out like it's electric. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Can they get some good bars from here, I mean, from him? Especially when he said, like, CQ, I got them things under both arms, like it's a rope, my bitch look like, her name's Mulan, but I got the move on, my favorite ever deal, like he got it off of Groupon. Sheesh. Like, okay, damn.
Ooh!
But yeah.
Don't forget, you're still working at Best Buy. Yeah, you lame.
Oh, yeah. And also notice one thing, like, okay, like, I did check out the boast, like, on his YouTube page. I know it cuts off, like, two minutes and 21 seconds because it's, like, it was on Q the Fool. So, like, this cuts off like that. Like, I would have went to the site, but, nah, I can't. But, yeah, dealing with their music player on the site, which is, you know, kind of a hassle if y'all did it before. I mean, I know y'all mentioned it before. At least I think one of y'all did.
No rewind and no volume control.
Yeah, that.
Just gotta sit there and let the song play in full. Such as it is. Still a banger, though.
Yes, yeah, pretty dope.
And now, to move on to something that is incredibly suspicious. That's the best term I could think about this. So, coming out November 9th, is the latest project from The Lads and All That Remains. It's an album called Victim of the New Disease. And, you know, I was going to make a joke that the new disease was probably Imagine Dragon Syndrome, you know, especially if the radio friendliness of their last couple albums and singles were anything to go by. But then they put out this new song here, Fuck Love. And at first I was like, oh man, this is going to be some corny autotune hard rock shit. But then you hit play, and this thing actually hits pretty fast and aggressive. There's some really just hard-hitting, like, chugging riffs at, like, a fucking rapid, fast-paced tempos and rhythms. The drums, you know, marching in suit. The vocals fucking deep, harsh, like, probably the deepest that I've ever heard out of this band. And, you know, the riffs can get pretty dissonant at times, and almost kind of a deathcore fashion, especially once you get to the mandatory slow bridge of doom. And that outro with just that prolongated screech. And it's like, you have to be suspicious about this because this sounds credible. It sounds vaguely dignified. Like, I could actually listen to this more than once, or at least more than once the whole time through. I mean, Phil Labonte is probably still a shithead, but, you know, credit where credit is due.
Yeah. Listening to this the first time around, this was the best Five Finger Death Punch song I've heard in a long time. but really, this is a pretty good song. It's just that's just guilty of being a bit too much tap out bro metal. But yeah, I get what you mean. This feels just a little bit off. Like, the rest of the album probably won't be this aggro or this heavy, considering one song has a fucking feature of Danny Warstop of all people. But I will say, color me interested and curious. I want to see just how this will play out. I mean, there's nowhere to go but up, right?
Well, I mean, pretty much. Plus, remember, Muse is coming out with an album that day as well.
Yeah, definitely nowhere to go
but up. And guess what we have to talk about here? Oh, God. Yeah, Simulation Theory, Muse. The fifth, I think, single off this frickin' album, which, Jesus Christ, five singles off an album. You guys are approaching Nickelback numbers. Yeah, this one...
Fifth singles? I hope they have more than...
I don't know.
See, they have more than...
And yeah, it is. It is. It actually is. More than
what, like 10 tracks?
It is five singles out of 11 tracks.
Jesus Christ, that is Nickelback.
Unless you count the deluxe version, which has 16, or the super deluxe version, which has 21, which, you know, they're just different versions, if you will.
21.
Okay.
But yeah, damn. This song here, Pressure, oh my god. First off, this fucking music video, Terry Crews, man, what are you doing here? It's like, is Old Spice refusing to pay you for commercials? You realize you could just go into their CEO's office and probably, like, you know, hold him up by the neck, right? Or, you know, maybe film some, like, quick sketches with the guys from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like, who's paying you for this? I assure you, it's not enough. And especially the part where he's taking down Ghostbusters doesn't really help them that much. Especially considering just... Okay, so the previous singles we've gotten evoke a very synthwave vibe. Not a good synthwave vibe, but, you know, synthwave, I guess. But this one is more... Okay, you get, like, these staccatoed, like, brass horn lines. This really anemic guitar lead that's in sync with that. There's no real, like, body in the production apart from, like, the drums. And then, of course, there's the annoying poppy synths in the chorus. This thing is just, like... If this is supposed to be, like, a pop song, it's like... Shit, I wish they would get Imagine Dragons Syndrome.
Yeah.
It's like, this is so... You know what this sounds like? This is like if Weezer did a Muse cover. It's like, you know, why would... If you're trying to do, like, a poppier jam, why would it sound this barren and lifeless? It's like, isn't pop supposed to be, like, you know, full of energy and charisma or something? You know, like Lady Gaga or You're All Sleeping on Carly Rae Jepsen? This is more barren than the cemeteries I'm going to be visiting because it's Halloween month now.
Well, at least there are real guitars on here. That counts for something, right?
Yeah, like five freaking notes worth. Just,
oh my god, this does... nothing for me. Not one damn thing. I don't care about this whole 80s nostalgia throwback thing. It's just... I just don't get it. This is a band who put out one of the best rock albums of the 2000s in Absolution. And now we have this crap. I don't get it.
I don't get it either, man. And speaking of things I don't get... How the hell does P.O.D. still have a career?
That's what I was wondering.
They're still going. The week after this fucking All That Remains and Muse shit, they're dropping a new album called Circles. You know, because I guess there's still a market. Sorry, Mark, you were saying?
Circles. I'm just thinking circles.
Yeah, sadly, it's not the good kind of circles, like the ones that protect from sea bear attacks.
Here, draw a circle!
Okay!
That was an oval! It has to be a circle!
And yeah, we of course have the title track here, which all I have to say is, what the fuck is this, like, Crazy Town shit? This literally sounds like it was off that one fucking Crazy Town album. And before you ask, yes, I did watch the Rocked Reviews video. So that's how I have this shit on the brain. Thanks, Luke!
God.
I guess you don't have anything to add?
All I have to add is, yep, this is certainly P.O.D. in 2018, all right. And yeah, this surprised me. I didn't know they were still around doing stuff. The last I ever heard of them was back when they did Rey Mysterio's entrance music at WrestleMania 22. That was 12 years ago.
Oh, wow. Of course only you would remember that.
Yeah, old me and John. Don't forget him.
Yeah, but why would John give a shit about the band in specific? Why would he give a shit about P.O.D.? Probably has better things to do with his time.
Yeah, like stream Monster Hunter World on his Switch channel.
Y'all plug, know where to find him. Plug. But, you know, after two straight songs of shit, I need something that'll pick up my mood. What's happening at the start of November? I'm curious. Right! The new Tenacious D album, Post-Apocalypto! Woo! Yay! At least something that's, you know, funny on purpose. Anyway, so this past Friday, we finally got the first official song and the first installment of their promotional tie-in animated series for Post-Apocalypto, this being a track called Hope. And before getting into the song itself, I feel it's appropriate to actually bring up this episode here. So, you know, it gets you acclimated to the story. It's, first off, it's basically done in, like, it's just a slideshow of, like, crudely drawn images that are somehow, like, less well-defined than 12-ounce mouse, which, by the way, how weird is it that we're getting an half-hour special of that this month? This show will never die. Thank God for that. And, you know, it's about what you would expect. So Jack and Kyle, you know, they're just sitting there playing video games. Their landlord tells them that they gotta fork over their rent right now or they're screwed. They decide that the best way to get money quick is to do, like, Daredevil motorcycle stunts, which works. They clear a shark tank pretty easily. But then a bomber jet fucks everything up royally, except for them, who, you know, jump into the fucking refrigerator. Then everything is destroyed, and we get the song itself as they're exploring the ruins of the apocalypse. It's a pretty straightforward, you know, tongue-in-cheek inspiring rock ballad. The dramatic strings, the acoustic guitars, pretty mid-tempo with some solid drum fills, pretty much all that neat shit. It's, I assume this is probably somewhere in, I can't tell if this is going to be the beginning or the middle of the album, because this doesn't feel like the kind of thing that you would open, like, the album with, although I guess there's no choice considering that, you know, it's the first webisode and everything. But, you know, personally, I'm waiting to hear something that's got a little more kick, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I never thought that I'd expect these guys, of all guys, to make me tear up singing about nuclear wasteland survival. But hey, they did it. Excellent work, lads. I want this whole album now.
Don't we all? And so, at least for that, we go out on a high note. So that's it for the song discussion. We're going to take our usual break, you know, pop some champagne, some Molly and Percocet. You know, as soon as I get some more, Mark. But anyway,
It ain't my fault.
Of course it's your fault. I told you to look over it.
I did. It was in the budget.
Budget schmudget. You get me what I asked for.
That's been on the end of. I gave you call girls and bouncing cosplayers. Because they were available. Because, fuck it, I don't know.
Whatever. But yeah, we're going to take our break.
And also chicken wings.
Yeah. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, we got some news topics to discuss. So don't touch that dial. And we're back. So, to start off this round of news topics, let me just say something right off the bat, and I know this is going to be a controversial topic, I'm sure. Paul McCartney is lame. Like,
yeah,
really lame.
Gasp!
You know, as it turns out, he can't read or write music. He is a bass player.
Oh! But, you know, he obviously somehow lucked into a solo career, the longest of anyone else in the Beatles. And apparently his latest foray into outside stuff is, apparently he's working on a children's picture book. It's coming out next September through the publishing house Random House Kids, and it's called Hey Grand Dude. His explanation, according to the quote from the interview here, I've got 8 grandchildren, and they're all beautiful. He said in a video explaining that Grand Dude is what they call him, which, dude, no, your grandkids don't call you that. If they're your grandkids, they're probably, like, they're too cool to call you something like Grand Dude. Just dude. And apparently this isn't his first children's book, because back in 2005 he came out with one called High in the Clouds. That apparently, according to this link that I'm just noticing, is soon getting an animated film adaptation. Let's hope it gets, you know, sent to the same dustbin as Oogie Loves.
Oh, God.
What studio picked that up?
I don't know.
We
Illumination?
Works.
Well, this sounds exactly like it's up Illumination's alley.
One of those cheap ass ones that made that damn nut job movie.
Oh yeah, that was a thing that happened.
I don't know. Like,
thanks for that, China.
But you know, who cares? He's still, you know, gonna be mega successful and famous and whatever, and you know, we're still gonna be sitting here talking shit on a podcast. Now, anyway, to our next topic here. Wow, it involves the realm of English rock music and Japanese animation. What is this, a crossover episode?
Hey, Mr. Peanut Butter. Can you believe this? The two of us in the same house? Is this a crossover episode?
Yeah, so one of the upcoming shows coming out, you know, later this year. I won't go into specifics, but this show, Ingress, is based on an AR game by the Pokemon Go developers, Niantic.
Oh, yeah, they do things other than Pokemon.
Yeah, kind of weird, I know. Yeah, this show will be starting up this season, starting October 17th, or October 18th, depending on where you live. And it will have theme music by Alt-J, which, no Calcicessa, is not Lupinati, it's a rock band.
It's Lupinati!
Dun dun dun!
Yeah! It's actually the song Tessellate, I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, I'm trying to find. I'm guessing. I mean, I'm guessing it's probably not pronounced Tessellate.
Yeah, I'm looking up right now. The pronunciation is Teslet. So, yeah, it's a weird name. So, yeah, an anime having English rock music as its theme song. Remember Ergo Proxy? That show had Paranoid Android by Radiohead as its theme music. It was excellent.
And, of course, now that you bring it up, we still have to wait until either this Friday or the Friday after next to figure out what famous licensed song is going to be soundtracking Golden Wind.
Yeah, that's coming up.
It's finally here.
Yeah. But as for this show, I mean, the music is fine. It's just the animation that looks wonky and kind of way too CG for its own good. But, hey, what do I know?
Apparently more than I do, because I didn't even bother clicking on the trailer, because I could not give less than 0.2% of a fuck.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's my job to look into that kind of stuff because of my other shows that I do. Episode 30, next weekend, or this weekend, or whenever Saturday or Sunday is.
Listen.
We'll be talking My Hero Academia 2 Heroes. Plug, plug.
Anyway, moving on from that to another story that, of course, our boy Alex has taken the lead on, because there's just a whole bunch of mess floating around this.
Yeah, so imagine my surprise scrolling YouTube on Friday afternoon, and I see a video from Loudwire that says something along the lines of, "Guitarist and drummer leave Machine Head, announces farewell tour." So, here's a rundown. On Friday, Rob Flynn, the frontman of Machine Head, posted a video on their Facebook page announcing that both guitarist Phil Demmel and drummer Dave McLean are going to be leaving the band. Not immediately, but after this upcoming tour, which will be, quote-unquote, their farewell tour. I'll get back to that in a moment. The reason for this is, to quote Rob himself, quote, "I have held on too tight to the reins of this band, and I have suffocated those guys. I've got some rough edges. I'm kind of a barnacle. Those rough edges have given us the success we've had, but they've also hurt the people around me. I've got a lot of drive, but I've got a lot of anger and rage, and that drive might have alienated folks in the band. I ask that you respect Phil and Dave's decision as I respect their decision." There was a follow-up coming up on Sunday, the following, you know, weekend, obviously, that sort of clarified what Rob meant by all of this. This isn't going to be the end of Machine Head. It's just going to be the end of this lineup of Machine Head, which, you know, to their credit, have been around for
really long time. Like, this is probably the most famous lineup of Machine Head and the most stable. So, yeah, kind of a big deal. So, this tour that will be running through the rest of the year will be pretty much your last chance to see this run of Machine Head, which, if all goes well, I'll be going to that show in Charlotte next month because, well, I mean, it's Machine Head. I want to see Machine Head. I didn't get to see them when they were on tour with Metallica because by the time they came to Charlotte, it was Lamb of God at second billing, not Machine Head. So yeah, if you want to see them, now's your chance.
Indeed, indeed. And so we got like about a good handful more news stories here, and what better way to, you know, proceed with these news stories, you know, given that this is our 100th episode, than with a whole bunch of random-ass festival news. It's a gift that keeps on giving. So, anyway, so to start with this one here, as we said, Adult Swim Festival happening this weekend. We, you know, got the schedule announcements and everything, but it turns out everything was not strictly set in stone yet. We have a few last-minute additions to the lineup. Well, second to last minute, who knows if they squeeze, like, one more in there. But for now, there were some new additions. Of course, those, it's just three acts that they're adding to the bill. So, our new additions here are Trippy Red, you know, double XL freshman for this year. Metro Boomin, who, I guess, he trusts Jason DeMarco, so, you know, good for him. And, this guy, Joseph Keckler. I don't know who that is. Does anyone know who that is? Because I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
Looking him up, apparently he is a writer, performer, singer, songwriter, humorist. That's all I got.
Okay, so that sounds about right for, you know, the Adult Swim Festival, you know, humorist. Makes it sound sophisticated. Perhaps he's going to do some comedy with Joe Pera. That's probably going to be fun. Or who knows. I think, because they did post the full schedule. I didn't get a good look at it, though. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be there anyway. I'm sad. Maybe we need to shill harder in the next 365 days. We obviously need to get our shill technique up to critical mass. You guys know what to do.
Yes. Go to Atlanta and harass Jason DeMarco. No, no, I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, you know, we could always go to... What's that con? MomoCon?
We will get shot. We will get shot.
That's also Atlanta.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on from that to what will forever remain one of the most glorious highlights and very special moments of this podcast, the Fyre Festival. Forever the gift that keeps on giving. And thank you for blessing us with an update, even if just a relatively small one, for the week of episode 100. Of course, last we saw Mr. Billy McFarland. God, just look at that douche's really punchable face. Earlier, you know, this year, he pled guilty to defrauding investors in regards to the festival. And, you know, he's very much facing possibly over a decade in prison, but he's trying to pull the mental illness defense. His defense attorney, Randall Jackson. Any relation to Randy Jackson? So, yeah, he's still gotta go for, like, his actual sentencing in October, but his attorney, you know, urged a Manhattan judge this past Friday to be lenient, claiming that he apparently, McFarland suffers from, quote, bipolar-related disorder, and may sometimes have delusional beliefs of having special and unique talents that will lead to fame and fortune. Well, he's got that right.
Yeah, but, it's called being a rich white guy.
But I'm pretty sure that's got nothing to do with him being bipolar, because that's such a douchey defense. I mean, like, we can all probably think of plenty of people that have, like, you know, bipolar disorders or, you know, like, other neurological conditions, and they don't do horrible shit. Like, that's the worst kind of person. Like, people who use mental illness as an excuse to do shitty things. It's not an excuse. If you think it's an excuse, fuck you.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're obviously still going to wait till the sentencing in October, and I'm still rooting for a decade in prison. Come on!
Screw your affluenza, asshole.
Yeah, and, you know...
Punish the white guy!
Yes!
Yeah, yeah, punch him in his douchey Seth MacFarlane bro face. But seriously, it's like... I thought he was already sentenced already. I'm amazed this is still taking forever. How long does this shit need to take in order to happen? But, whatever.
No, I will say, what with Ja Rule, but then again, he already got enough L's in his life by now.
Yeah, and apparently he was able to show up at the VMAs recently. Or maybe that was the VMAs last year, but anyway, apparently he didn't get sentenced to shit. Anyway, let's...
Like I said, he has a lifetime of L's.
Indeed. Anyway, moving on to the last two stories here, which involve festivals in my own neck of the woods. The two big ones around these parts. So first, let's start off with the Ultra Music Festival, one of the biggest electronic music festivals in the world, and possibly the biggest in the States. I'm not entirely sure. But, yeah, it appears the popular EDM festival has hit a bit of a snag. After a vote from the City of Miami Commission last week, they voted to deny a new 5-year agreement that would allow the festival to remain in its typical home downtown in Bayfront Park. In fact, the final vote was actually unanimous. But there was a bit of a feuding around here, specifically between City Commissioners Joe Carollo and Ken Russell, with Carollo wanting to end the contract on behalf of downtown residents who complained about the festival causing a bunch of disturbances for anyone living in the area. And, you know, there was just a whole bunch of... let me bring up what Carollo's quote specifically is. His response to, you know, pro-Ultra people was like, you know, back during the previous days with how long it's been around, and keep in mind, this has been around for like 18 years, he responded with quotes, "That was a different Miami. The kind of music that Ultra plays is not the same as other venues where the music changes. It's thump, thump, thump." And, yeah, okay. So it's kind of interesting because, like, he originally, like, drafted this agreement working with Ultra and the, quote, Downtown Neighbors Alliance, but apparently he did, like, an about-face, which caught a lot of opposition here. Unfortunately, they weren't able to, like, work anything out, and, hang on, let me bring up a funny quote here, because during the back-and-forth between him and Commissioner Russell, he took an opportunity to just, like, make a quick jab at him, saying, quote, "I know how to negotiate better than you know how to negotiate selling yo-yos to little kids." In case you're wondering, Russell's family apparently owns a yo-yo company. So, okay, that's something. So, yeah, that's kind of a big deal because it's kind of a mystery where this festival is going to end up. Again, it's sort of taken place in that relative downtown Bayfront area for like 18 years, and now it's getting the boot, so who the fuck knows what's going to happen next? Personally speaking, I don't give a shit, though, because, you know, it's basically just a place for, you know, basic people to, you know, get high on drugs and listen to shitty music, so suck it. But that's just one man's opinion. But now let's move on to the other big festival news. Last bit of news for this week. Now to talk about the other big festival. That is 3 Points, which has decided to skip out this year because they were working out some... they were trying to rearrange their schedules because usually 3 Points takes place around, you know, September, October. And, you know, that has made them hit a snag in, like, the past few years. Especially because, I don't know if y'all remember, but there was a hurricane that came through Miami last year. Pretty close to beginning of September. And that even, you know, kind of delayed, like, finishing up the production of the festival and whatnot. But, you know, the festival, you know, made its new move. It's now going to be taking place February 15th through the 17th of next year. And, of course, you know, the usual spots in Mono Wynwood. And we finally have, like, the big lineup announcement here. And this is kind of an interesting one because, okay, usually past 3 Points festivals have a tendency towards, like, you know, sort of indie-ish kind of synth pop, some hip-hop in there with the occasional rock and some weird other stuff in there. But this year, the majority of the bigger lineups are just, you know, like, pure, like, R&B and hip-hop, you know, things of that nature. There's still, you know, some other things peeking in and out of there, But this one is definitely, you know, leaning more towards that particular angle. So let's just talk about the, you know, let's go in order. The top four build acts this year, well, next year, are SZA, Tyler, the Creator, yep. ASAP wow. Rocky, and Erykah Badu. Wow.
Very nice.
Oh.
Then as we move down, on the line beneath them, there's James Blake and Beach House. And then beneath them, there's Herbie Hancock, Blood Orange, and The Internet.
Ooh.
And now this is where, you know, the columns get smaller and smaller here, but we're going to try to read these as best yeah. I can. So there's Virtual Self. There's Raekwon and Ghostface Killah performing mm. only built for Cuban Lynx. There's Kruangbin.
Oh, yeah, that album.
Peggy Gao. One of the, you know, post-rock acts, Godspeed You, Black Emperor, is going to be Pussy Riot, DJ Koze, Ty Segall and White Fence, Yaiji, Mariel Ito and Danny Days, SOBXRBE, so I guess they must not be completely breaking up yet, Ben UFO and Joy Orbison, Honey Dijon, presumably no relation to Mustard, Toro y Moi, doing a DJ set, Masego, Mallgrab, David August, Kelsey Liu, Dean Blunt, Tim Hecker and the Konoyo Ensemble, John Maus, JPEG Mafia. Yeah, he found his way into this. Very nice. Kainamoose, Kinda Music. I think that's how I pronounce that. DJ Stingray. And, oh hey, Jacques Green. Very nice. And yeah, the rest of these are names that I've never heard before, except for, you know, good old Rat Bastard, who's the local one of the big local music legends here. Sorry, go on, Mark.
And they need to get a lot smaller and names that are unrecognizable. I'm wondering who are they. Like, I see one name called Thunder Pony, the Anti Flow, okay, Dracula. Okay, Dracula performed.
Oh shit. Who else? DJ Seinfeld.
Yeah. Who are these people? What? Maybe DJ Seinfeld is.
DJ Seinfeld. Oh shit. See, Bear.
Bam, 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 bam.
Apparently, no relation to DJ Seinfeld.
Okay, quadruple A, I think.
Fly house.
Oh yeah, I think that was pronounced
Marvin and Guy. Okay,
not to be confused with Marvin Gaye.
What's this about VHS collection though? Is there going to be a VHS collection on stage or something?
Oh boy, I sure hope so. And they better have the best VHS in the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely more of a skew here towards hip-hop and R&B. Hell, half of this looks like Mark's year-end best-of lists.
That is true.
All you need is some Denzel Curry and, you know, Ka, and you're basically set. Which could happen, you never know. I mean, remember, Denzel Curry's a native of Florida, so always could happen. You know, when he's not busy being freaked out at how much Nardwar the Human Serviette knows about his personal life. Seriously, that's one of the all-time great Nardwar interviews. But yeah, so I assume there's probably going to be like maybe some more sporadic announcements here and there, you know, between now and February. So if anything else comes through, we will keep you all in touch. And so that wraps up all the news topic announcements. So now we have our last bit of the usual business here, and that is, of course, the new album releases for October 5th, 2018. Better get spooky, kids. You know, because it's October, spoops, get scary, and all yeah. that shit. Anyway, starting right at the top, we have the newest full-length album from Polish metal act Behemoth with I Loved You At Your Darkest. We got a new one from gravelly, you know, thrash metalers High on Fire with Electric Messiah. We got a new one from, you know, doom metalers Windhand with Eternal Return. We got a new album from Ant-Man cast member T.I. with Dime Trap. narrated by Dave Chappelle, apparently.
Interesting.
So we get that the same weekend that A Star Is Born comes out. Brand synergy, perhaps? Anyway. Supposedly, a new project from Waka Flocka Flame called Flockavelli 2, which, again, I could have sworn that came out already. Wikipedia, why are you so bad at keeping track of hip-hop album release dates? Bastards.
Maybe you gotta ask Kim Kardashian. After all, Kanye's new album, whatever the hell it's called, is not coming out until November.
Oh, yeah, what was it called?
Yandi. Get it? It's like Gandhi, but it's, you know, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was called Abraham Lincoln.
I mean, where shit could happen. I mean, yeah.
Anyway, there's new project from a Tokyo Police Club with TPC. They're still a thing. Coheed and Cambria, back on the concept thing with Vaxis, Act 1, The Unheavenly Creatures. Oh,
that's the full title?
Yes.
Oh, boy. We're going to be in for some... We're going to be in for something. I know that much.
And last, but certainly not least, as previously mentioned, the soundtrack to A Star Is Born, headlined by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. So, I suppose now is usually where we clean house and get the hell out of here, because as you can tell from all the bickering, I'm very bad at properly celebrating momentous occasions. Yeah, so anyway, for the 100th time in a row, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The name is Aura of Azure, but God knows when I'm going to be back online, because holy God, you're all insane. Stop being insane. Stop being mad. Stop being bitter. Just, you know, be nice. Take pictures of your cats and put them on Instagram.
No promises. Mark, what about you?
As usual with me, Matt Tavern Media, which I do have cats on my Twitter feed, and yes, I changed my name to Halloween after my birthday, because that shit comes first. And of course, on my site, the Mind of Hyper One, and hyperone.wordpress.com. And yes, Time of the Season is back, talking about the new fall anime coming up. Because I got three up right now. At least, you know, we're recording this. There'll be more.
There will be more. Shit, that reminds me, I gotta watch The Puppet Show. How come no one told me that was back this season? Shit. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. I'm the creepy guy with the screen name Robzilla. Getting the spoops in there. You can email me, robert@superresolution.com, with questions, comments, concerns, memes. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video, of course, usually goes up by the weekend on Surreal Rezo's YouTube channel. You know, subscribe there. Follow us on Twitter @SurrealRezo. You know all the social media stuff. Be sure to keep up with our written content. Of course, I reviewed Brockhampton's Iridescence, which, you know, we'll mention more of that in the album roundups and stuff. And, of course, Fully Coolie Alternative Reviews, and maybe something else this weekend? Maybe? We shall see. You know, be sure to jump into our Discord chat, because, you know, why, you know, don't you want to celebrate the 100th with us? You know, post some dank memes or whatever. That's all we always celebrate, is with memes. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. So yeah, that is the end of this, momentous milestone. Thank you for joining us this week, and at any point you've joined us for the past 99. We'll, of course, be back next week to continue 101, you know, year 3 of the podcast, and beyond, plus Ultra. I'm just rambling at this point. So, yeah, thank you for listening, we'll see you again, and, until next time... Yeah, it was Last Dab Redux that I slipped into the sauce.
Oh, great. Guess I'm not sleeping tonight. Fantastic.
Here's some toilet paper.